Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today, I'm joined by my friends, Brandy. Are you there?
I am.
And Charles, are you there?
I'm always here, Timmy.
All right. Today we're going to talk about...
I'm like the postman, Timmy. I always deliver, Timmy.
Always deliver.
Even on Sunday. I deliver even on Sunday, Timmy.
Even if you're late. All right.
We are going to talk about... the podcast today is on the duel. We're going to talk about the history of dueling. Charles, I know you've been involved in several duels in your lifetime, so you'll have a lot of... input in this story.
No, he hasn't.
But before we get started, I'd like to remind everyone that we are a comedy podcast. Sometimes we use the adult language or off-color language. And if we do, we like to tell you up front so that if that offends you, you can...
go fuck yourself.
That's what you get. Listen to one of the other fine... podcast out there, like our friend Nina with Already Gone, who has a birthday coming up, Chuck, and I know that you wanted to say a little something about that.
Well, yeah, I just want to say happy birthday to you.
Ooh.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, God.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Nina.
Oh, no.
Happy birthday to you.
So there you go, Nina. I'm sure that I hope it was everything that you had wished for.
I'm wearing a tight white skirt, as I said.
I'm actually hoping she had a bucket nearby to throw up in.
You had a Marilyn Monroe skirt on?
I did, yeah. You can't see me because we're not on video, but I was.
Did you lean over to show your cleavage when you were singing?
I did, Timmy. I did.
All right. Let me introduce our panel, and then we'll start talking. And then we'll talk about the duel. I'm joined, as always, by a lady, Her Royal Highness, a lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent. She's known for being benevolent, Colonel.
I am.
Yeah, I don't know how she got that reputation. To me, it must have preceded us.
The amazing Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
You completely forgot my introduction, didn't you? Just went.
I did.
Straight out of your head.
Alzheimer's, early onset.
Well, it's the first time we've done this.
Well, you know, really, it's not really even that early.
No, I'm good. We had trick or treat last night, so that was fun.
Did you get a lot of kids?
What did Mr. Noah, young Noah, go as?
Young Noah went as the ghost face guy from Scream, and Scream, the movie, mm-hmm. And his mask. He had a thing that his mask would fill up with blood. If you squeeze
the
thing.
Oh, that's pretty goddamn grotesque.
Yeah, so it was good, and Jacob came over.
What happened to hobos? I mean, like, everyone used to go as a hobo when I was a kid. And no hobos anymore?
Dude, there was a little girl that she came up to my, because we trick-or-treat at my mom and dad's house, because their neighborhood has all the good candy. And she walked up, and I'm looking at her. I'm like, okay, I need to know, what are you? And she's like, I'm bubble tea. She was dressed as that nasty bubble tea drink. And her mom's like, look, I have one. This is what she's dressed like. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, get off my lawn. Go away. She's dressed as bubble tea. I'm like, oh.
I saw a kid on the Facebook. Is a brother and sister, and they were the brother was a little older, and he had a picture frame around him, and he was Starry Night.
Oh, and, okay.
And Vin, the little girl was Vincent Van Gogh, and she had the, you know, like the bandage on her ear and stuff.
Right. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. But yeah, it was fun. Noah went as that, and Jacob actually, and there's a little boy that comes over and trick-or-treats with Noah, and so Jacob and his dad actually took them around the neighborhood on my parents' golf cart, which is the only way Noah has ever known how to trick-or-treat is on a golf cart. So I don't know what happens when there is no golf cart anymore, but so they went around
and trick-or-treated. That's when you know you're in a top neighborhood.
Neighborhood.
Yeah, when you use a golf cart to get around.
Right. So they did that, and me and my friend and Jacob's fiance sat on the front porch and handed out candy and chit-chatted, and it was nice. It was lovely.
You know, I saw in the news where these ladies got in a fight at Walmart over a costume.
Because you could have stopped there, because of course they did.
It really doesn't take much to initiate a scuffle at Walmart.
Right. Over a costume?
Yeah, it was over, I don't know what type of costume it was, because, you know, I'm not hip and all that. But apparently it was a popular one, and there was one left. And
oh, my
these
God.
Ladies started, you know, pulling out each other's hair. And yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I did dress Lucy up as a stingray, though, so that was kind of amazing. She was not a fan of the hat, but that's okay.
How is Lucy doing?
Lucy is wonderful. Lucy,
Lucy's your dog.
Lucy is my dog. Lucy is wonderful and amazing. We need to get her into some training, because she likes to, I like to let her go at my parents' house when my brother's dog is there, because they play and do whatever. And the last time she decided that he wasn't playing with her enough, so she took off running to, like, the neighbor's house two doors down to play with their Weimaraners or whatever they have. And she's fucking fast. So she's hard to catch. So we got to get her into training so that she, like,
now you have to go into training too, right?
I don't know. They have, like, a daycare training where I can send her for the day. And they'll train her, and then I show up later, and they'll show me the commands, and then we're all good to go.
Oh, okay.
So,
would you like me to train her, Devil? Now, as you know, I have Rutabaga, who is really the prototype dog. Now,
well, he sits at the dinner table.
I'm confused.
Like,
are you going to tell me another stupid fucking dog story? Because I really don't think my heart can take it right now.
No, I'm just telling you, I can train him. I mean, anybody that knows Rutabaga knows that he is. Rutabaga is trained much like
he wears pants now.
Much like a Navy SEAL,
he wears pants. Does he wear pants? Because I do
and
enjoy
he,
that.
Yes, he knows how to. He knows how to drink coffee with his little pinky out.
Nice.
He does.
Can he use the human toilet?
He does, but the only thing is that, you know, I have to give him the commands in German. That's the way you teach a dog.
That is the way you teach a dog. Now, let me ask you this.
Well,
it's
how
German
you teach
words, or are they just
it's
German
how you
words
teach,
that you made up?
It's how you teach children, too, because, you know, when you think about it, kindergarten, right? It's
right.
a German concept.
Right. Kindergarten.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But by the time Rutabaga was 3 years old, which is 21 in human years, he was speaking four languages.
And drinking beer. Oh, wine.
And drinking
wine.
Beer.
Yeah. Wine. No, I got to get her.
He prefers old granddad.
Well, who doesn't? She, you know, she's still got some puppy in her, so I got to teach her, like, you know, when you meet people, jumping up on them is not the way to make friends. I learned that the hard way. So
that's how Chuck makes friends.
That's how who makes friends?
Chuck.
Well, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. But so, there are some people that don't like
you
that.
You haven't taught your dog. You haven't taught your dog proper social distancing yet.
I have not. I have not.
Do you have a mask?
Subscribe to that. Of course, I have a mask for Lucy.
All right.
So, yeah. So everything's. So it's all good. She's good, and the boys are good.
Double time stretching out pretty long.
I know. I'm kind of just letting it do that. But you all saw that my baby is getting married.
Yes. Congratulations. Yes. Congratulations.
So we're very happy about that. And
was
comes not long after that, don't you?
The wedding,
Granny Brandy.
Ugh. Oh yeah, you'll be a grandma.
You're going to be Granny Brandy.
Well, I'm then never you start, going to be that.
And kid. Then you really start letting yourself go to shit after that. You start
First of all, I work from home during a pandemic. That's already happened. Like, I'm so far ahead of that. That's already a thing. Just let it go to shit. I'm not sure what day it is. I'm not sure what's happening.
So do they have a date for the wedding?
Have you caught yourself? And I worked, except for one day, I worked from home last 2 days. One day I actually realized it was 2:00 and I still had a robe on.
Oh, I do that all the time. I roll out. I work in. Yeah. If I don't have to leave the house, I'm in my pajamas all day. And then I take a shower and put on new pajamas. It's kind of me living my best life. So, you know, get food delivered. I can get groceries delivered if I want. So, I mean, all I really need to do is invest in some new sweatpants because these are getting kind of tattered. But, yeah.
And, Timmy, you yourself, you were built for social distancing. I mean, you've been training for this all your life, Timmy.
I know. It's Timmy's time to shine.
And I, you know, I noticed last week it was noon and I was wearing my bathrobe, but I was at work, so that was really
weird.
That was extremely weird. Yeah. Yes, that's more than enough Brandy time. But Brandy, do they have a date for the nuptials?
Not that I'm aware of, but I've been assured it will not be anytime soon because they both need to finish school and all that kind of stuff. So I'm comfortable with that. I'm good with that.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Hey, Snoop, why don't you settle down with your bong hit there? Everybody can hear it.
I got my mic turned down.
You didn't, though. That, so I heard all of it.
Up. No, you can hear it, but it's not getting picked up on the track.
Oh, so Timmy.
So you got to rap me out to everybody else.
Good. Yeah. Timmy and I can hear it, which is perfect.
Yeah. And
I'm not annoying at all.
I'm a professional, and I know how I got to edit these, so I turned my mic down one before I.
I see.
We had some technical problems in our last episode, and I had some technical problems. So if that happens again, and you don't hear from me for a while, it just means that we're having them again, and Brandy and Chuck will have to bring us home.
I think we did okay last time. What do you think, Chuck?
We did okay. We paired up, teamed up on that one.
We did
all right.
Let
me introduce a man who needs no introduction, Brandy.
You don't forget his introduction.
These are troubled times, Brandy. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We got an election in a few days. There is the wolf's at the door, Brandy. But one thing that we can find some comfort in is that we have a person here on our podcast that the world looks to in these trying times.
I know. He's, thank you. Thank you so much.
He's been called an oasis, Brandy, in the desert of despair.
By no one.
He is considered the most dangerous man in podcasting today.
He is not.
He's a best-selling author, by the way.
Nope.
How to make love to a woman.
Stop it.
The very honorable, the Colonel, Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard, Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
He's a double colonel.
I'm good, Timmy. I'm good.
Holy shit.
Yes, I am.
You're good.
Wow.
Timmy, I have recently... I have recently installed a bidet in our house.
Bidet. What if you have to poop by night?
What?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that, Timmy.
What if you have to poop during the night?
It will still, it's still there.
It's still there.
At the night. You're so dumb. It, look, duct taping a garden hose to your toilet is not a bidet.
No, it's a legit bidet. It's got a little thing on the side. I mean, I just...
Do you find yourself aroused when you're using that, Colonel?
I bet he does. Ew.
Well, I find myself... Here's what's happened to me in the last year, Timmy.
He's got a bunch of Will Knots on his ass.
I have a refrigerator now that I can go and just push, put a cup under there and get water out of it, Timmy. Mm-hmm. Because for years, I refused to do that.
Technology.
I said it was just an unnecessary luxury. Mm-hmm. That we did not need because you could just turn around and pull a knob on the sink and get water out of it.
Right.
But this whole COVID thing has had our house has undergone a transformation where I've redone the kitchen and our driveway's been, I mean, it's like, I think I'm poor now, Timmy, all the money that she has gone out and spent.
I'm so confused. Shouldn't you be working? Like, we work from home. So you're just not doing that now? Or what's happening?
Oh, no. I don't do this work. It gets hired out. People do this work for us.
How do you legit hire out for them? Did you replace the toilet or did you just put a little thing on
there? Oh, no. I put the bidet in myself.
Right.
No, it's easy. It's an accessory.
Okay. So it's just the little thing that goes on there. It's not the whole toilet.
Yeah.
Ah.
No, it hooks into your water supply. But it's, you know.
Should hook it into your gas line.
Men underestimate the importance of testicular hygiene. Because I've noticed if you sit at a certain angle, it'll get the orbs too, Timmy.
Oh, my God.
Bidets are not just for backsides anymore, Timmy.
I see.
Oh, my God.
You can get a nice good mist. Yeah, it really, you don't need to shower anymore,
what the
really,
fuck
you know,
is even happening right now?
If you get down there, you could get your, you know, armpits. If, you know, I mean, you got to get at a weird angle, but yeah. So we got the bidet, and so one of the things you can add to my introduction, Timmy, is
bidet installer,
the man with the cleanest orbs in podcast.
Please don't add that.
I don't think I'm going to add that, but
ever.
Because we don't really know that's the case. I mean, we would have to go around and...
Nope. We're not doing that. Yeah. And I'm still not convinced you didn't just duct tape a garden hose to the toilet.
Well,
I'm just saying.
You know the importance of this. You've been up close and personal with your fair share of huevos, devil. So wouldn't you say that testicular hygiene is a thing that men need to...
With huevos?
Hey, huevos.
Huevos.
Baby sacks.
No, no.
The baby sack.
I understand. You continue to astound me every day. That's all I got right now. I can't.
Well, that's why we have him on this podcast, because
I can't
he speaks. He says things that other people won't say.
There's a reason.
Truth to power.
There's a reason for that.
Truth to power.
You don't even know what the power is. Truth to power. Fucking hell. Can we talk about the duels?
Let's talk about
bidets anymore.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying I'm walking around here, whether I go to work,
I am uncomfortable,
or stay home. The one thing you can be certain of, Timmy, is I have squeaky clean jawbreakers, Timmy.
Oh, my God.
That is something that we'll make sure that's on your tombstone, Colonel.
Squeaky Kingdom Jawbreakers. With the bidet.
With the bidet.
With the bidet.
We'll just put that beside it.
So, Colonel, let me get your perspective on this. Do you think toilet paper is a thing of the past?
It's passé.
Well, you know, when the COVID strikes real bad again, I'm not worried about a shortage of toilet paper, Timmy. Because I got a bidet. And you can turn it. Now, what you don't want to do, because it's got like six different settings, right? And one is like a jet stream. I mean, it will peel, it would knock the paint off a wall.
The power wash.
So you got to be careful that you don't turn it to the right too far, because it will send you to the emergency.
Now, can you control the temperature of the water? That's, I mean,
you can, Timmy. You can. That's nice. It's a nice warm. It's either a mist or a jet spray, Timmy.
A mist.
So it's. Yeah, you can get it to just, you know, mist your whole bottom. Or
what's the point of that? Just to make your bottom wet? Like, what's the point?
It's like at the car wash, the pre-soak, devil.
So I got to sit on there through wash cycles? Like the fucking washing machine?
My next accessory is to cook up.
Do you put it on delicates?
I do put it on delicate for me. I'm going to hook up a dryer, a butt dryer.
A butt dryer.
Yeah, so it's just like the car wash.
I feel like you spend an awful lot of time in your bathroom.
I did not want the thing. It just showed up. It was on my dining room table in a box and said, this needs to be installed. And you know me. I'm a handyman. And I installed it, and
and now you enjoy it.
I've got quite a bit of enjoyment from it.
There it is.
Yes, I do.
Perfect.
Now he poops when he doesn't even have to.
Sometimes I will go sit on the toilet whether I needed to or not.
He's on there right now. We don't know. He could be.
With it turned all the way up.
No, you don't want to turn it all the way up. That might cause internal injury.
You
need to put a warning sticker on the box.
All right, let's talk about...
That's me.
Let's talk about dueling. Dueling... had a dueling, which originated in medieval Europe, was one of the many customs that accompanied the first settlers into the American colonies. It had a long history. Dueling had a long history in Europe. Many famous people were involved in duels. On January 5th, 1825, you know that was a cold fucking day. Yeah. Famed French playwright and novelist Alexandre Dumas became involved in a duel, Brandy. The duel was instigated a few days earlier, so right around New Year's Day. In 1825. You think it was the holiday stress and all, maybe?
I think so.
Okay. Dumas, maybe he was hungover from New Year's Eve, partying too much. He was watching watching the ball drop. Dumas was having dinner in the Royal Palace with a group of his friends, like the Colonel is often does.
Nope.
The Colonel is
not with the COVID, Timmy.
Have you been staying away from the from Versailles, Colonel, during the COVID?
I have been staying away from these unnecessary social functions, Timmy. I'm trying to be a responsible Colonel.
Well, after
I just
after
don't congregate
after eating. This is before COVID. This is sometime after the Black Plague, before COVID. Yeah.
Okay.
After eating, the party decided to. Dumas and his boys decided to head out to smoke and play billiards at the local cafe. That's one are apt to do.
Sounds legit.
While at the cafe, a soldier who was playing billiards made a joke at Dumas' expense, particularly making fun, Colonel, of his boots.
What a jackass.
Well, you don't make fun of a man's boots. That's just
a French man's boots.
Yeah.
You just don't do that, right?
They wear those little elf boots, I think.
Probably. Well,
you see, you probably would have just ended up in a duel if you said that in France. Like any good Frenchman of the day, Dumas did not take this slight on his honor lightly. And
that was him ripping on his boots, a slight to his honor. My God. What a bitch.
Yeah, he was a snowflake.
He's a sensitive bitch.
Snowflake of his time.
Yeah.
Well.
Why do you make fun of my boots? Why do you make fun of my boots?
Right, I'm gonna have to kill you.
Yeah. Why do you make fun of my boots? I'm going to kick your ass. Why do you make fun of my boots?
So a duel was set for a few days later, Brandy. And much to the chagrin of Dumas' friends, who didn't fancy him going up against a trained soldier, Brandy.
Well, they didn't fancy that, and they were correct.
Yeah. Fancy is like. That's what we say over on the continent. We say fancy.
Is that what we say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you don't say that. I say that when I'm over on the continent.
I've never heard you say that.
Timmy's,
go ahead.
Timmy's an international man. Timmy's basically a man of the world.
Yes.
Right.
So, remember, we're just dumb Americans here, Timmy.
Yeah. I'll try to keep it simple.
To be a man of the world, he'd have to eat something besides Domino's Pizza and McDonald's when he goes out into the world.
I had cinnamon crumb cakes this morning. They were pretty good.
Holy shit. Are
well,
okay?
I mean, from Hostess, so.
Yeah, are you all right?
Ooh.
I am.
Those are tasty, though. Go ahead.
Yeah. Dumas proceeded to practice shooting with his second and proved to be a pretty good shot, but it turned out all for naught, as it was decided that the duel would be fought with swords. So
It should be.
Dumas wanted to, he challenged this dude to a duel. Now, this guy's a trained soldier, so you think he's a pretty good shot. That's why his friends were worried about him. But, you know, when you challenge someone to the duel, they get the choice of weapons. So this dumbass, instead of going with his strength, he thought, nah, I'm not going to, you know, he may get a lucky shot in, so I'll just go with swords. So, luckily, Dumas was not only a great shot, but he was decent enough fencer. He was a decent enough fencer, Brandy. Now, Colonel, have you done a lot of fencing in your time?
I've done quite a bit of fencing in my day, a little, you know.
You haven't.
Just to keep my footwork up for, you know, whatever I
need. Just in case.
And plus, I look good in the tights, Jimmy. I look really good in the tights. That's the only reason.
In the beekeeper's outfit?
He's known for
that. But I don't wear the mask.
He's known for his balance, too, Brandy. He's very balanced.
Mm-hmm. No, he's not.
Well, you know, he used to be in the Olympics. He was in a gymnast in the Olympics.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Mm-hmm. You didn't know that?
He trained
Nadia Comaneci back in the day.
Oh,
wow. You and Nadia were pretty tight, weren't you, girl?
She was a spirited little girl.
No,
Timmy, she was not like the spirit you have that comes from a bottle, the 40 proof spirit devil. She was pretty spirited. Yes.
Okay, settle down.
The colonel was good on the unparalleled bars, weren't you, Colonel?
The unparalleled bars?
Yeah. The unparalleled bars, yeah. The parallel bars are easy. Anybody can do
yeah,
them.
It's the unparalleled
is this,
bars.
Wait a minute. Is this the Hillbilly Olympics that he was in?
Yeah.
You got the javelin catching. You did some of that in your day?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. They didn't. The unparalleled bars were made by a guy who did not measure twice and cut once.
Exactly.
There you go.
All right. So anyway, so they decide to
fight. Shows up for his duel.
Yeah, with the swords, right?
Right.
At the appointed time, Dumas showed up at the duel armed with his father's sword. But I wonder if, you know, like he got in trouble with that because, you know, like, you know, his dad come home like, who the fuck's got my sword? Did that?
Yeah, where my goddamn sword at?
Did fucking Alex steal my sword again?
If you got kids laying around, or kids around, well, if you got swords, you're liable to have kids laying around.
I assume that he has more than one. I mean, why would he take his father's sword? I mean, I assume
swords are not cheap.
Well, I assume he's got more than one.
Invested in a sword.
Look,
lately,
here's the thing. Well, as a matter of fact, I haven't. But, you know, if he's having dinner at the Police Royale with his group of friends, you know, and he's a playwright and a novelist, he should be able to afford, A, his own sword.
Well, I think this is before
he became. His father has more than one sword.
I think
once you get blood on those things, the value goes down.
I think this is before he was famous. I think he was just, you know, he was just a, you know, 19-year-old.
Just a French guy?
Yeah, you know, laying, sleeping in. Going out late, staying out late, drinking wine, shoot pool, bad mouthing his country.
Chuck's life. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
All right. So anyway, so Dumas showed up with his father's sword, but his rival was nowhere to be found. I had a lot of that. I had problems with that when I duel Colonel.
The guy doesn't show up.
He didn't show up. Well, you know, it might be because I forgot to challenging. Sometimes,
sometimes you have to tell people. Yeah, that, yeah. Timmy,
say it out loud.
You actually have, well, you have challenged to, them.
Don't
to
you have to slap them across the face with a glove?
And some, we'll get to that. Well, sometimes,
oh,
you do.
We'll get to that, Devil. There's
I thought
you
that
don't
was,
just call somebody out in a duel, Devil.
I mean, I thought that was the
technical
thing.
No, this is a process. This is a duels are highly regulated events.
Well, they really are.
I thought that's how you initiated the process.
It's not just for savages.
Right. I was going to have us go through all the rules, but there's like 28 of them, and it just didn't make sense. We'll talk about some of them, but the Code de Duelio, I think it was originated in Ireland. We'll get to some
the Coolio?
Of them.
The
Duelio?
Codilio.
Yeah, whatever.
Duelio.
After further investigation, it was discovered that his opponent had slept through the time of the duel.
It is Chuck.
So he didn't set the alarm clock. So they had to
he wasn't too nervous about this duel.
Really.
This was like,
what I love is,
oh,
that they rescheduled it. They rescheduled it. Like,
well,
oh,
this is before they had Google Calendar, Timmy. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to...
Yeah, it's easy
to... I mean, come on.
Back in those days, you had to count on a rooster to wake you up.
You know, these guys, you know, probably had duels every other day. So, I mean, it was like,
Yeah.
You know, I thought duels was going to be a much bigger thing when I was little. I was like, you know, I'm going to have duels like, you know, three times a year or something. This hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they rescheduled it.
They rescheduled it for the following day.
Fuck that guy. Yeah.
At a stone quarry near Paris. So they went to stone quarry. On the day of the duel, it was extremely cold, and there was snow on the ground, because, like I said, it was, what, January the 6th or 7th at this point?
Well, yeah, because they had to reschedule.
Once a suitable location within the quarry was chosen, Dumas' opponents asked him to take off not only his jacket, but also his vest and shirt.
Why? See, that doesn't seem hinky. It
seems like there's some deliverance shit going on here.
Right.
Your
little banjo music in the background.
I know.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, you know, you
strip
just...
Strip down, boy.
Yeah, and he's going to walk up and French kiss him or something.
He's got a pretty mouth.
So while doing this, you know, Dumas removed his, you know, his shirt and jacket like he was asked by his opponent. They was very polite. And when he did this, he removed his suspenders, at which point his pants fell down due to his belt buckle being broken. So now he has...
It's hard to duel with your pants around your ankles.
I've never done that.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
It's like a prison duel.
So a crowd of the workers there in the stone quarry had gathered around and had a good laugh at Dumas' expense over this.
Why didn't he want to fight them? That seems like a bigger affront than, you know,
ragging
on the guy's shoes.
And there was a lot of them, so I think he probably just kind of...
Oh, my gosh.
You know, kind of sucked it up. But despite...
you call that a sword?
So right. Dumas simply held up his pants with one hand and dueled with the other.
Ooh,
and it was kind of, you know, it was kind of smart of his opponent, really, when you think about it. Take off your shirt. I wonder if he kept going, like, take off your pants. Take
out.
Off your shirt.
Yeah, take off. Yeah. And then steal his clothes and run away. Leave him in the cold naked.
Except for his boots. He'd leave his boots. Now, despite this handicap, Dumas managed to strike the man's shoulder. Apparently, the soldier was a poor fencer. Which makes you wonder why he chose fencing.
Why didn't they throw have a rock match, a rock throwing contest or something?
Ooh, a stoning duel. That would have been cool.
A stoning duel. That would be cool.
Yeah. The soldier was not seriously wounded. However, the soldier tripped on a root and fell over.
Jesus.
And jumped back up in surprise. But the soldier soon yielded. So, and... The duel, the purpose of the duel was, well, we'll get into this, but it's for honor, right? So if the person wouldn't apologize, then they would fight till first blood. The object wasn't to kill him.
You know, that's part, I got it. It's in
but
here.
But you know what?
I'm going to read it.
I think he should have killed him, but that's just me.
Cut off his head for sure.
I'm a romantic.
Yes, you are. Look at you.
Well, you're an old-fashioned man, too.
Yeah.
You like the pirate duels, the duels to the death.
I do,
not just the first.
I am old fashioned.
Duels to the
death. I still wear Skechers. Yeah. Old fashioned.
I was looking at a pair of shoes one time. Timmy, I was out and looking at some shoes, and I found a pair that I thought looked exceedingly comfortable, and to me, they look quite sporty.
Mm-hmm.
So
New Balance.
I said, what do you think about these? And Tana said, Dad, those are Skechers. Well, they look comfortable.
Skechers are comfortable.
And he said, even at your age, Dad, Skechers, they're social suicide. You'll be shocked. You'll be
Be shunned.
Just don't be that guy, Dad.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, just get some Adidas, please.
I love that he thinks that you have a social life.
Well... He didn't want me mocked any further.
I think
than
he
I
did.
Was. I always counted on Tanner.
Because he knows that line. He knows that if someone made fun of his footwear, that Chuck would challenge him to a duel.
Avi. All right. So in 1777, a committee of Irishmen drew up the dueling code that would come to be used widely throughout Europe and America.
I bet they were drunk when they did it.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They was drunk if they was Irish.
The 1777 Irish Code was called the Code Duello.
Probably eating a bowl of potato soup when they did it.
The Code Duello.
They're big on potatoes over there.
That's what I've heard.
Well, except for that one time.
25 rules.
We're out.
25 rules. Oh, my God. Are you going to stop?
Okay, I'm sorry.
It consists of several rules, or 25 rules and several footnotes. These rules were adopted in the United States in the early 19th century.
Now, how do they adopt that? I mean, how do they formally adopt it? I mean, is it
it's a process?
Is it like everyone get together and they say, okay?
It's not like the Constitution, is
right.
It, where they just had a town hall and said, you know, okay, here's what we're going to have to do.
I think they put it in a pamphlet.
Here's my question. Would you clappers? Do you think I should, instead of saying I've got the cleanest testicles, the cleanest clappers, Devil? What do you think about that?
I don't think that we should ever talk about this again. Ever.
Cleanest ghoulies, maybe? Ghoulies.
Nuggets.
Yeah.
Nuggets.
Just nuggets. I like to make sure that Itchy and Scratchy are well cleaned.
Itchy and Scratchy.
I wouldn't use that one if I was you.
Hard to get dates that way.
Right. So, highlights
just
of the rules.
Just giblets, maybe?
No.
Giblets?
No.
Sweetbreads.
No.
Beanbags.
Close your phone. Like, take off the Google search.
The Kiwis.
No.
You know, I used to do this in a grocery store, and it never got old. We'd go grocery shopping, and Renee make the boys go. And every time we would go to the store, I would get a banana and two kiwis and hold them in my hand. And the boys, every single time, would laugh, and every single time it would mortify their mother, which was, you know, really a bonus. But no matter, you know, you get 10 and 11-year-old boys, and...
or, you know, 52-year-old.
Or 52-year-old, man.
All right.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Clappers, Devil. The clappers.
No.
Remember those things? No. What are they called, the clappers, when we were young? These two. Man, you talk about dangerous toys. Two hard plastic.
Oh, yeah.
Glass, wouldn't they? Like, hard plastic. Yeah. And they're only strings.
The knockers.
Yeah, knockers.
Yeah, the knockers.
And you...
Knackers, Timmy. They were knackers. That's what I could call the testicles, the knackers.
Those things are so dangerous. God. Anyway, Brandy, please continue. That I don't know why you keep stopping.
What about the giggle berries, devil?
No, that's ridiculous. No. All right. Giggle berries. Highlights of the rules include the steps of an apology. Might call off the duel. Proper dueling etiquette in terms of dignified behavior. Nope. The
Hold
rules
on for one
of seconds, the role of seconds, and what constitutes the end of a duel.
Wait a minute.
I got a good one.
He got a comment.
You'll like this one. You'll like this one because it's vile, devil. Spunk bunkers.
Gross.
Spunk bunkers. I like that.
That's so nasty.
Essentially, that's what they are. I mean...
That's
what
they are.
Yuck. Spunk bunkers.
Brandy, do you have a favorite type of testicle?
What?
Do you have a favorite type?
Favorite type?
Of testicle, yeah. I mean, do you like large testicles?
I mean, do women judge men on their testicles? Do they say...
We judge you on everything. But go ahead.
But I mean, do you talk to your girlfriends about, I know after you fornicate and go out and do your devilly things, you go back and tell your friend Stephanie, and do you talk about, not only the size, but the size of the testicles, the shape, the firmness, do you consider testicles like cantaloupes, when you're checking them out at the store?
No.
Have you ever when I go to the store?
Are you going to tell me the banana story again? Because I can't take it again.
And if I got to get cantaloupes, I will pick up a cantaloupe and I will squeeze it and try to check for the firmness and everything else. And I have no fucking idea what I'm looking for. So finally, usually I just look for an old lady or something that's near me and I say, could you pick out two good cantaloupes for me? But I do go through the motions and pretend that I know what I'm looking for in cantaloupes.
So, Brandy,
that's
your
fucking story.
And do you do the same things
with
testicles? Who
the fuck cares? No. Who the fuck cares? You accost an old lady in the store to come pick out melons for you because you can't manage to just pick up a fucking cantaloupe for your wife?
Well, I don't know what's good or bad. I always forget firm or soft, is that good or bad?
Jesus.
I can never remember.
The thing is, you told a story about it. There's no story there. There's no story. You don't know how to pick out a cantaloupe. So the fuck what? That's the end of it. There's no story, Chuck.
Kind
of
like
you
the
can't pick out a cantaloupe.
Episode.
It's a one sentence statement. I can't pick out a cantaloupe. You can put like a comma in there and then say without an old lady's help, but I don't, what the fuck are you telling me this big goddamn story about? I don't need War and Peace about how you can't pick out a watermelon or a cantaloupe or a honeydew or whatever the fuck else you're trying to get. Fucking Christ.
I'm just saying, it's important for men to pretend they know what they're doing.
You
until
can't
they
even
find
do
a
that
old lady who's not gonna judge
you
them.
Can't even do that. That's the fucking story. You can't even fake it till you make it. You just accost an old lady to come in there and look at her and go, you want to look at my melons and make sure they're okay? God damn it. Not a story. It's like your dog barking. Who gives a shit? It's a fucking dog. Dogs bark. Who cares?
We got to do these late in the afternoon. She's cranky.
Oh, she is cranky.
Yeah, that matters. That matters when we do it. It's a matter of time of day. That's what it is. Yeah.
I'm just saying you got to
men
out there.
No, you're not saying anything.
You can't
look
incompetent.
You're not saying anything.
Picking out the fruit.
Because nobody is watching you in the grocery. Nobody gives a
Everybody's
shit.
Everybody's watching me.
Nobody
I'm
is
the
watching
colonel.
You in the grocery.
TMZ's following me. I gotta act like I look like.
No, you know why people like are looking at you? Because you've tied like a kerchief around your head, trying to go in there looking like Jackie O in disguise. That's why they're looking at you. Nobody gives a fuck about you looking at a watermelon or cantaloupe or whatever else.
Perez Hilton knows his every move.
His name's Paris.
Yeah. Whatever.
No, he doesn't.
It's Perez Hilton, right?
Perez. There's two.
Perez. No, it is Perez. It's not. It's Paris is the girl. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So can I talk about this goddamn thing
you,
here?
You seem a little upset, Brandy. You should
All
probably
right.
catch your breath before you
so,
continue.
A duel. Oh, my God. Noah, get Mama's whiskey so I can put it in the coffee. A duel can be used to regain honor after a person or their family has been slandered.
Yeah, or make fun of their boots.
Right.
Yeah.
The challenger can challenge their opponent in person, in writing, or by casting a glove or gauntlet onto the ground before your opponent. In the best cases, the person issuing the challenge may also slap their opponent with a white glove.
Yeah,
which is the best way to go.
In some cases, if you fill up the white glove with nickels, that's much more effective.
Or oranges, yes.
Yeah, cantaloupes, yeah.
Yeah, or a cantaloupe that Chuck can't pick out. And I'm sorry, if a cantaloupe fits into a glove, don't get that cantaloupe.
Yeah.
How about that? How about that little tip?
That didn't make any sense at all. Your analogy made no sense at all. Yeah.
An apology cantaloupe on the part of the challenged.
You really need to brush up on your analogies.
Who the fuck are you talking to? I didn't even bring up the fact that the word was color and you bust out with collar. So, just settle down. Okay. So, an apology on part of the challenged could avert a bloody duel if delivered properly. Keep in mind that most duels were carried out when one man offended another's honor, like making fun of his boots. As such, the proper apology would logically help solve the problem, even once the duel had already begun.
And once it had begun... A little late there.
A little late, yeah. And I know what you're thinking. A duel is not a brawl.
No,
it is a controlled battle between gentlemen of honor. And as such, a certain level of dignity was expected of all participants, unless a motherfucker asks you to take off your shirt and your coat and your vest and your britches fall down. Rule number 13.
There goes your dignity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rule number 13.
It's hard to have dignity when your pants are around your ankles.
Well, that was cold. That was January like 6th or 7th or
I know.
Something. That's kind of smart if you think about it. You just ask your opponent to strip down and when it's
well, why did he fucking do it? Why didn't he just look at the guy and go, fuck off? It's, you know, January in France. Fuck you. I'm not taking off my pants. In fact, I'm putting on another coat.
Yeah.
Rat bastard. All right, so rule number 13 of the Code Duello is the one that describes dignified dueling behavior. This is also the one that is frequently broken, since many duelists do not really want to die, kill, or maim. They only want to defend their honor, or what's left of it. Some duelists would use blanks or fire into the air to avoid hurting their opponent. But, of course, this was not always the case, and sometimes duelists really did want to kill their opponent.
Yeah, I would.
If you're going to use a blank and fire into the air, you better hope your opponent is using a blank and
well,
firing
that's
into
it.
The
air.
Those are two separate things.
Load up your pistol with a blank and then catch a ball in the chest. That would just not... Why in the fuck would you just
fire
into the air?
All right, so the role of seconds is spelled out in several rules. Rule 18 requires that the seconds load in the presence of each other. Rule 21 states seconds are bound to attempt a reconciliation.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project... There's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns,
so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
What? Okay. So, seconds are bound to attempt a reconciliation before the meeting takes place.
Yeah, so they're trying to hold a little peace conference.
Yeah. Or after sufficient firings or hits as specified. What does that mean?
Well, by the rules.
Okay. So the code Duello also acknowledges that the second might get involved in the fight themselves. The code is highly specific as to how this involvement might occur.
Yeah, like...
Or seconds...
So the second could stand in for either opponent.
Yeah. This happened in Footloose during the tractor fight.
But they had a dance
during
off. That's not
game
the same.
Of chicken. No. There was a game of chicken on tractors, and Wren was somebody's second.
Well,
he got hit in the head.
First of all,
he got hit in the head, and then Wren had to go drive the tractor, and he'd never driven the tractor, and then he couldn't press the brake right, and then it was over.
All right. Well, first of all, that's a stupid fucking movie. There's no place on this country where
yourself.
You can dance.
I will defend
where people
Footloose.
Can't dance.
Yes, there is, and I will defend the movie Footloose forever.
Second, Kevin Bacon couldn't dance.
First,
he couldn't dance. He couldn't dance.
He did dance.
He couldn't drive a tractor.
Neither can you.
And
he was a city kid. He was from like Chicago. No. You don't drive tractors in Chicago very often.
No, I don't. I think
so. Wren was his friend's second in the chicken. Battle with the tractors.
That was dumb.
So
you know those boys in Nebraska or wherever the hell they were at. They could drive tractors. Where?
Texas.
All right, they can drive tractors better than Kevin Bacon any day.
No shit, Sherlock. But the guy that was supposed to drive the tractor in the chicken game hit his head, and you know couldn't drive the tractor, and so he asked Wren to do it, and Wren did it.
Well, why didn't he just say, hey, let's reschedule tomorrow, like the guy overslept?
Well, I don't know why there wasn't a rescheduling clause. I don't know. But, so the code is highly specific. So you got your seconds, and where seconds disagree, where seconds disagree and resolve to exchange shots themselves, it must be at the same time and at the right angles with their principals. There's so many rules here.
I told you. That's why I didn't want to list all of them. I didn't want to confuse people.
A code also dictates what... Thank God I did not. So
okay.
Perfect.
So
no.
I'm gonna have
No, this is important
because it's how you properly carry out
a duel.
No, it's
not. It's fucking stupid. I can guarantee it's fucking stupid because I've heard all your goddamn stories.
Well, now wait a minute.
There's no fucking raccoon duel.
Then wait
and
a minute.
If there is, it's because the raccoon whooped your
well,
ass.
Well, I think
spatula.
I think his story, his cantaloupe story, has given we have to give him a benefit of the doubt based on his cantaloupe story. So continue, Colonel.
Right.
We absolutely don't.
So I come home one night to me, and I've told this story before, but I didn't tell the preface to it.
He's told this story before.
So the raccoon
so many times
is on my
before.
Porch.
Right.
And he would not let me in my house. And I said, look here, Mr. Raccoon, there's pizza waiting for me in the house. It's a Friday night. I just want to come home. I don't want really any trouble with you. Other than you're on my porch, you're trespassing.
Yeah, which is illegal.
And, it is illegal. And I said, please vacate the premises immediately.
And he gave you the finger.
And he got up on his hind legs and he...
gave you the finger.
He hissed at me.
Oh, that's
everybody
yes,
does
yes,
that
yes,
to you,
did.
Though.
That's just like making
so
fun of
So I go down
boots.
Into my garage, and I cannot find a white glove to save my life, nor can I find a gauntlet. Mm-hmm. So I come back, and the raccoon's still there. So I had to go all the way to Target to get a white glove. Mm-hmm. So I get a white glove because I want to do this properly. Right. I'm not a savage, for Christ's sake.
You follow the code, Julio.
I followed the Duello code. Mm-hmm. And I came back and I said, look here, Mr. Raccoon, now it's time for you to go. Now you push me too far. This is getting serious. And he got on his hind legs and hissed at me again.
Bastard.
So I slapped him across the face with the white glove to me. And said, okay, this is a duel. It's on, Mr. Raccoon. And I ran inside, got Logan to be my second. Mm-hmm. The raccoon, he was cowardly. He didn't have a second. Then I went to the garage and got a baseball bat, two baseball bats. Mm-hmm. Came back up and I said, you know, I choose baseball bats.
See, you were challenging him. He should have got to pick the weapon.
Well, I kept asking him and he wouldn't answer me, Timmy. He just kept giving me this, and I don't speak raccoon.
I'm confused as to why you just didn't stay inside when you went inside, because the raccoon would have got
bored. I was
bored.
Trying to get inside. I couldn't get
but,
inside.
Yeah, but you got
I
inside
get
to get
garage.
Logan. I mean, you got inside to get Logan there in this
No, we had to come through
story.
The garage.
But
we
you were inside, right? You were inside?
It's a principle, goddammit. It's the goddamn principle.
You have
the
no
thing.
Principles.
Raccoon was
His
on my goddamn
honor
board.
Was at stake.
He'll go away.
The rat? No, he didn't. Was not going to go
he
away.
Was he was going to go away.
No, the raccoon stood
you know
up
how
on
many people
leg,
this story
his dick.
Wait a minute. Do you know how many people this story upsets when you tell it? Every time you fucking tell it.
We get
it
hate mail.
I'm just saying
we get hate mail.
Everybody knows this story what happened
yes,
with
they
the raccoon,
do.
But what they don't know is what led up to it.
You trying to get in to feed
properly,
your gullet pizza?
I properly challenged him to the correct duel. I slapped him with the white glove. It did no And this raccoon was willing to fight to the death.
Oh,
and,
so he wasn't
know,
he wasn't about
was
I really wish
blood.
He would have.
I just wanted to have that was me. I just wanted to have one of those duels where you fire a blank into the
right.
air, you know, and the guy gets scared and he's like, "Okay, you know, I apologize. I'll get off your
You
porch.
Probably shouldn't have
I
chosen
need him
baseball
to get off
bats as your weapon if you wanted that to happen."
Well, I just said you know, if he would have moved along. He didn't even have to move along. All he had to do was get out of the way of my front door. Mm-hmm. That's all I was really asking.
But you
him
had
to do.
Been inside.
No, I was coming home from work. Then
right,
I went
right.
To
okay,
garage.
No, wait a
then
minute.
I went to
wait
Target.
A minute. Wait a minute. To recap your story thus far, you go up mm-hmm. on your porch and there's this raccoon. You get irritated mm-hmm.
Big
that the raccoon's
one.
On
Big
your
one.
Porch. Hold on. And it hisses at you.
Might have
so
been
you,
a bear.
Wait
it
a minute.
Pretty
According to
big.
Your story. You go inside.
No. He goes to Target.
Get Logan.
He goes to
no,
Target.
Well, he went to Target, blah, blah, blah. Comes back with his white glove. Whatever. So then he goes inside to get Logan. So the words,
yeah.
I went inside, would indicate that you went inside and could have not done any of this. Right? Perfect.
She runs a good story, Colonel.
Well, thankfully, I don't know where he's gone, and maybe that story went with him. So, let's see. The code also dictates that when the duel is over. Okay. The code also dictates when the duel is over. Dueling to the death is not considered desirable in the code Duello, although it may have been the ultimate end to many duels. Remember, dueling is about recovering honor, not killing. So many duel outcomes were decided by first blood. The Rambo movie? I'm confused.
Or a girl's that, first period. Could be that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I like the Rambo movie better myself, but whatever. So when one participant is wounded, to the point that they're bleeding, then you can call the duel. Rule number five states that if swords are used, the party's engaged until one is well bloodied, disabled, or disarmed, or until after receiving a wound and blood being drawn, the aggressor begs pardon. Any wound enough to agitate the nerves and necessarily make the handshake must end the business for that day. That sentence is enough weirdness. Perhaps one of the most important rules of dueling does not involve the mechanics of the duel itself, but rather who can duel. In medieval Europe, dueling was the sport of noble-born men and ladies. Although commoners did fight and certainly did face each other in contests, that could be called duels. An actual honor-bound duel had to be conducted between two men of noble rank.
Well, of course. You can't have commoners running around dueling. It's unseemly.
Well, it's chaos. One reason of this was economic. Swords were expensive weapons, and not every peasant had one. But it was also a means of distinguishing the upper and lower classes. Many countries had laws forbidding commoners to fight amongst themselves, while dukes, princes, and even kings were expected to duel each other. In the American Republic, that was not the case, and dueling took place by men of all backgrounds. Duels are not just limited to men. In Europe, it was not unusual to see emancipated duels. These were duels between two women, where all the spectators were also women. No men were allowed.
That's hot.
So the participants were women, the seconds were women, the physician, or more commonly a nurse, was also a woman.
These are what was called back, these are the famous titty duels.
Yeah, titty duels.
Okay. Some women...
They used to call them the titty duels.
They didn't ever call them that.
They did call them the titty.
Some women...
And we'll get to
that's what I call them.
Well, some women participants would often remove their shirts for practical reasons that, of course, we will discuss.
Oh, they removed...
The titty duels.
To show their titties is why women did it.
That's not it. The emancipated duels between women also became known as petticoat duels. One of the most bizarre duels in history One of the most bizarre duels in history occurred in 1891 between two women of the Austrian royal family. Pauline Clementine Marie Walburga, Princess of Metternich, was a famous Austrian...
Are you sure about that?
Nope. Metternich?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Metternich.
Anyway, she was a famous Austrian socialite.
We'll call her Pauline.
Mainly active in Vienna and Paris. Known for her great charm and elegance, as well as for her social commitment, she was an important promoter of the work of the German composer Richard Wagner. In 1892, when the princess was 56 years old, she was in charge of the biggest event on Austria's social calendar, the Vienna Musical Theatrical Exhibition. Goodness. The exhibition was...
That was old in those days.
Colonel, you're a big fan of Wagner, aren't you? You can listen to him a lot, I think. Heard him.
I do, yeah.
Uh-huh. All right, so the exhibition was a major social event.
He was big with
Kings
the Nazis.
And queens from all over Europe and as far away as Persia attended the event each year.
That's a hell of a
trip.
It was
a big deal. Yeah, it is. It was a big deal for all of the continents movers and shakers. Anyone who was someone attended the exhibition.
Wonder how long it took to get from Tehran to Vienna. Probably took a long time.
It probably did. Princess Pauline, who was a bit OCD, worked months to make sure the event went off without a hitch. Also working on the event was a countess. Oh, for fuck's sake. By the name of Anastasia Kielmansegg.
Beaverhausen.
No,
Anastasia,
but I do love
Beaverhausen.
That. We're going to say that from now on. It's Kielmansegg, but we're going to say Anastasia Beaverhausen because that makes me happy. Although the princess and the countess had worked on similar events in the past, they didn't get along very well. When it came time to select the flower arrangements for the Vienna Music Theatrical Exhibition, the two ladies started butting heads over fucking flowers.
Yeah, well.
The countess apparently had a gift for arranging parties and soirees such as these, always receiving much praise for how entertaining her events were. Yeah. Yeah. To Princess Pauline, it appeared that the countess was stealing her thunder and felt she should be getting that praise.
Well,
during the planning of the exhibition gala in Vienna, the topic of flower arrangements came up, and both of these ladies could not come to an agreement. The argument got them both in such an uproar, it led to arms.
Mm. You know, you don't make fun of women's flowers. I've learned that.
No, you don't.
Learned that the hard way.
At 56, she was a little old to be having a period. Yeah. So
well,
this
she was a little, she's a little old to be
PMS.
Getting in a duel.
Yeah, she's probably added to her last blood, not her first blood.
So usually the ladies would choose a champion to fight for them.
Right.
And a champion was basically a hired gun who would fight in place of the ladies. As you'll recall, in Game of Thrones, the Mountain was a champion, if you'll recall. But anyway.
I've been a champion a number of times.
You have not. But times they
were. Well, at least you reference a good movie show instead of that stupid Footloose.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dumb. Kevin Bacon.
You're dumb. You are
Devin,
dumb.
Kevin Bacon.
Shut up about Kevin Bacon.
Couldn't win it.
Kevin Bacon is amazing. Shut up.
There's only 6 degrees separation between me and him, you know.
I do know. And everybody else on this planet, so settle down. All right. So usually the ladies would choose a champion. But times they were a-changing, and we were heading into a new century where women were vying for the right to vote and have, you know, equal status and all of that
you
stuff.
Saw
so
how that worked out.
The princess, the princess and the countess, independent ladies would settle it themselves. Both classy and refined ladies, they were willing to shed blood to maintain proper etiquette and decided to squash their beef with a duel, fighting to first blood.
See, that wouldn't have been so hot having 50-year-olds going around top of
Yeah, she's 56. Well, here's
they need to get like a couple of 22-year-olds, you know? Just saying. Mm.
You get somebody 56 years old and you got to do it, you know, stripped from the waist up. I mean, basically, they got their own armor hanging down to the bellies, you know?
Well, here's the thing. So
no titty shots. I call no titty shots.
First of all.
I mean, how are you going to get
somebody? Shut up. So they're classy and refined. They're going to fight to first blood.
Well, I mean, if they're 50, Colonel, they're really men anyway dueling, right?
I don't think Anastasia, right. I don't think the Countess is old.
Okay.
Doesn't sound like it. But anyway, so overseeing all of this.
56 years old, she's packing 7 inches.
That's
I
Pauline.
She could have used that as a sword.
My
she
God.
She could have just lifted up a petticoat and said, here's my mighty sword. Come
all right,
on.
So overseeing the duel was Baroness Maria Lubinska. She was ahead of her time in germ theory, and advised the women to remove one element from the equation in order to prevent infections, their shirts. Yes, that's what we call it. That's
why
infection.
They called them the titty duels, devil.
Oh,
let's see.
I've used that line before, haven't you, Colonel?
I have, too. We want to prevent infection here, so could you take off your shirt, please?
So the Baroness, with a medical degree from a university in Poland, encouraged the women to fight topless for practical reasons, of course.
UW.
Many
good
dueling
old University of Warsaw, UW.
Yeah. Go polar bears. Many dueling injuries at the time.
I think they're just sausages, Polish sausages.
Are they?
Yeah, pretty sure.
I like pork. Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure.
Mm. All right. So, so at the time, they're not sausages because women went to school there. If it was an all boys school, it would have been. Many dueling injuries at the time became infected
due
to strips of clothing being forced into a wound via the weaponry.
Now, that's smart right
since
there.
Since it was Princess Pauline who had challenged the contest.
So maybe that's why the soldier had recommended Dumas remove his shirt. Maybe that's why.
Maybe.
He's trying to protect him from infection. Yeah.
That's nice. He's so thoughtful. All right, so Pauline challenged Anastasia, and the Countess was able to have her choice of weapons. Her weapon of choice was Europe's oldest dueling sword, the rapier, intended for quick stabs and little harm. The duel went on for 3 rounds, in which the Countess nicked the princess's nose.
Oh, man, now, see, they shouldn't be known as face shots. There should be some rules against
she
that.
She then, yeah. well,
well,
so,
Timmy, once you give... I mean, if they called no titty shot, and Princess Beaverhausen, to keep this a family thing, what Timmy didn't include was Princess Beaverhausen had unusually large areolas.
Oh.
They were like frisbees. So when they
what
called
the
no
fuck?
Titty shots, she just really, I mean, she had a limited
no,
place where
stop.
She could go.
Stop. See, you're talking, and you're full of shit.
The colonel does Stop. Deep dive in his research to prepare for these.
There was all kinds of... This is what... And, you know, we don't have time to get in and cover everything, but...
Are you sure? Because we got time to talk about your goddamn, you know, melons
now,
and
wait,
dogs and
bullshit. Wait a minute. Now, the colonel is an expert on 18th century porn, and he would know if what these women look like.
Well, no, so, I mean, half of France, half of the women in France, because they had nasty tempers and got in these duels, well, I wouldn't say half, but a good number of them were walking around with just one nipple. They lost a nipple in the duel.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
Yeah. An obscure historical fact.
It's not even
I didn't know that, Colonel.
So anyway. So, 3 rounds, the Countess nicked the princess's nose.
She must have had a honker. I mean, she must have had a big nose.
Then the princess retaliates and drew blood on the Countess's arm. At the sight of blood, it is reported that both seconds fainted.
Well.
So, their backups passed out. and after examining the... Jesus. After examining the wounds, the nurse on hand pronounced the princess the victor, and the combatants quickly made up. This classy catfight went down in history as the first emancipated duel because it involved female participants, female seconds, and a female medic.
Nice.
Ooh. Now, Charles, briefly... Tell us about dueling in the United States, briefly.
Well, the first record. Well, I will not do it briefly because Timmy puts his heart and soul into these scripts.
Yeah, thank but you, I'm so, saying not every sentence requires you to tell a fucking long-winded ass story about belly button lint or whatever the fuck that you happen to run across. So
well, I'm just saying, Timmy pours his soul into this.
I know,
and the listeners deserve.
Why is it, Brandy, that you do not like our listeners? I don't know why you continue.
No, why do you hate our listeners?
I don't hate
our listeners. Are you unpatriotic, Brandy?
No. I'm sorry,
you guys.
Do you
hate the country?
Wait a minute.
Do you hate
America?
You
misunderstand. You misunderstand. I don't hate our listeners. I hate you guys.
I don't know why you always talk down our listeners. Oh, they're stupid. Who would listen to this show? They're really stupid. Oh, they're ugly. I mean, how many?
What?
Yeah.
All the time. That's all you say.
Stinky?
Yeah, stinky.
Stinky. Those stinky listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I say those things about you guys, not our listeners. So.
Bring us home, Colonel.
Well, please. The first recorded duel in America took place in 1621 in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, and duels continued to be fought in the United States in the later half of the 1800s. Now, they were more popular in the South than in the North, and there's a good reason for that, is because it gets hot in the South, and when people get hot, they get tense and edgy, and don't have duels over anything. So, you took the last piece of cornbread, I challenge you to a duel.
We do that at Thanksgiving.
No. Yeah, and, you know, and no disrespect to our listeners in the South, but, you know, two men might be caught in the same cousin. right? So then they would have to have a duel.
They would.
So now, just one more factor that highlighted the differences between the two regions that became so pronounced in the years leading up to the Civil War. Now, the most famous duel in American history, of course, occurred in 1804 when Vice President Aaron Burr killed former Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton. But this was
that would be like that would be like Mike Pence dueling Steve Mnuchin.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Can we make that happen?
I'm all for it.
But this was not the only duel fought in the 19th century. Dueling was very common. Now, unlike in Europe, where the privilege of fighting duels was restricted to aristocratic gentlemen. Yes.
Fancy people.
Men from all backgrounds and stations fought duels in America. Politicians, newspaper editors, attorneys, men whose professions required them to make public remarks or whose public reputations were of the utmost importance.
America.
Often frequently and accepted challenges to fight.
America.
Now, several presidents have been involved in duels, including Andrew Jackson and Abraham Lincoln. Now, Andrew Jackson was an excitable sort with a famously loose rein on his temper. Now, that was prose right there, Timmy.
Thank you, Colonel.
That was prose.
Thank you, Colonel.
A survivor, barely, of several duels, he nearly got himself killed following a meeting in which he was merely a second, and in which one of the participants, Jesse Bitton, had the misfortune to be shot in the buttocks.
Over the buttocks.
Now, if you're getting shot in the ass, you're running away from the duel. I don't know if that's a duel. That's more like somebody chasing someone with a gun. It's not really a duel. Now, Benton was furious because Benton... Now, see, if Benton would have had a bidet, he could have soothed that wound. But and so was his brother, future Senator Thomas Hart Benton, who, let's see, he denounced Jackson for his handling of this whole affair here. Now, not one to take denunciation placidly, Jackson threatened to horsewhip Thomas and went to a Nashville hotel to do it. Yeah, he was not playing around with this.
Now,
as one does.
Andrew Jackson was ill-tempered, to say the least.
Yeah, well, you know, Andrew Jackson, there was an assassination attempt one time on Andrew Jackson, if you recall this, Timmy. Mm-hmm. And it was an insane guy. His last name was Harris. I don't know what he was really doing, but he had two pistols.
Mm-hmm.
And because the weather was humid and, you know, hot and whatever, they misfired. So a group of people tackled him. One of the people that tackled him was Davy Crockett.
Mm.
And Jackson was so mad, he went over and beat the sumbitch with his cane. So anyway, when Thomas reached for what Jackson supposed was his pistol, Jackson drew his, whereupon the irate Jesse burst through a door and shot Jackson in the shoulder.
Damn.
Did you know Andrew Jackson had been shot?
I didn't know that.
Falling, Jackson threw off a crazy shot at Thomas and missed. Thomas returned the favor, and Jesse moved to finish off Jackson. At this point, several other men rushed into the room. Jesse was pinned to the floor and stabbed.
Cheating. That's cheating.
But he was saved from a fatal skewering. I like that word, to me, skewering.
Thank you, Colonel.
By a coat button. Now, a friend of Jackson's fired at Thomas, and Thomas, in hasty retreat, fell backwards down a flight of steps. Now, that pretty much ended the battle at the City Hotel. Now, for Abraham Lincoln, the trouble began when he started writing these letters. And he wrote a bunch of satirical letters under the pseudonym Rebecca, in which he made scathing fun. And you don't, it's one thing to make fun of someone, mm-hmm. but he was making scathing fun.
Yeah, that's taking it to a whole different level, Colonel.
Yeah, that's up in the game. Mm-hmm. That's really, that's like the biggie, you know, East Coast, West Coast thing with the rappers. So anyway, he writes these, and he made fun of this state auditor, James Shields, who was a Democrat. Now, the letters were published in a newspaper, and when Shields sent him a note demanding a retraction, Lincoln objected to both the note's belligerent tone and its assumption that he had written more of them than he had. Well, in fact, Mary Todd, crazy-ass Mary Todd,
love her
not
heart.
Yet Lincoln's wife, is believed to have written one of the letters with a friend. Then, when Shields asked for a retraction to the letters he knew Lincoln had written, Lincoln said, go fuck yourself. He said, 1 score and 2 days ago, go fuck yourself. Now, Shields challenged Lincoln to a duel. Now, since Lincoln was being challenged, the rules were clear that Lincoln would get his choice of weapons. Shields was an expert marksman, but he was also only 5'2".
He's a little guy.
He was basically the Eddie Goodell of duelists, Jimmy.
He's a homunculus.
So Lincoln, who was 6'4", decided to use his height as an advantage, and instead of using pistols, decided on broadswords.
Wow. That...
And Lincoln came out probably with an 8-foot sword, and this little guy, he's probably, you know, he had one of those little rapiers. So, being more than a foot taller, obviously, Lincoln had somewhat of an advantage. So he used his reach to his advantage. Now, Lincoln's biggest risk came from a bout of giggles that overcame him while dueling his little short person opponent.
Don't you just see him, like, holding that guy's head while the guy just tries to get at him?
Yeah, the guy's just swinging his sword and doing everything else.
He should have went for his ankles.
The Great Emancipator. Oh, that's a perfect description of Lincoln. Timmy, you just nailed that
one.
Did you make that up?
Disarmed the Great Emancipator? Of course he did.
Of course he did.
He disarmed his opponent without much effort, and James Shield agreed to yield. Now, dueling continued throughout the 19th century. After the death and destruction of the U.S. Civil War, began to lose favor as a way to settle disputes. Although it continued in the far west well into the 20th century. So dueling.
I want a duel.
Well, you'd have to actually leave the house to duel, devil.
Oh. Can we do it on the PlayStation?
Can we do a Zoom duel?
Can we do it on the PlayStation? I mean,
we could get Mortal Kombat.
I don't want to get Mortal Kombat
and play online. Call of Duty. We could call a DVD duel.
Because I don't want to, like, get hurt or break a sweat or see people. So,
dueling seems like a lot of extra work to me.
It's a lot of work. You got to find a glove. You got to figure out, like, where it's going to be. I mean, my God.
Target does not sell gauntlets?
I did not know that.
They sell everything. You know what? I bet you can get one at Walmart. They legit have everything.
My raccoon incident, I could not find a gauntlet anywhere, Devil.
Yeah, but you found a white glove, so that's what's important.
Found a white glove, yeah.
Brandy, what are your final thoughts on dueling?
It's a shame that it's gone out of style.
Colonel, what's your final thoughts?
That's my thoughts.
I think we should have more titty duels.
I do, too.
And I think the titty duels should
be... Those aren't a thing.
They were a thing, and I think that they should be... You have to hold your hands at your waist and just swing back and forth, sway your body back and forth till you knock your opponent to the ground.
And then force your titty in their mouth. That's what happens.
That's right.
That's what.
Oh, my God. You know.
That's taking it to a different level, but yeah.
That's way different. That's what happens in my mind anyway.
Of course, that's what happens in my mind.
We want to thank all of our listeners who pay their hard-earned money each month to support this podcast, without whom I'm not sure we could offer you this fine quality entertainment. This week we have a new sponsor, or maybe a renewed sponsor, and that is Erica Kinney. So, Erica, thank you very much. Colonel, do you have the list?
I do somewhere, Timmy. Here, give me one.
Perfect.
Give me 1 second. I'll pull it up.
Okay.
Because, you know, this snuck up on
you. Yes, I do.
All right, Colonel. take it away. We would like to thank all of you who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, all one word, where you can give a little, you can give a lot,
or just a wee little bit.
All right, Colonel, take it away.
Okay, Timmy, we got Andrea, Luis Siddons, Tessie, Paul, Kate Baya, Karen Alden, Gina Green, Danielle Townsend, Marianne Wright, or I'm sorry, Marianne Knight. And you know what she's doing, Timmy?
What?
She leaving.
On that midnight train to Georgia.
On that midnight
train. I heard that this morning.
Leave it on the midnight train. Give me one more.
Woo-woo.
There we go, y'all. Adam McWaters, Elaine Baker, Alexandra, Alan Cox, Ali, Alicia Mincy, the Already Gone podcast.
Our good friend Nina, who has Amanda a birthday coming up.
She does. Amanda Christine, Amber Anderson, Amber Scoville, Anna Gurlion, Andrea Odell, Andrew Frazier, Angela Santos, Angelo Villafane, Anna Garrett, Annette Pitre, Anon, Becky Trainer, Ben Dobrovich, Brandy McBride, Bridget Bernard, Brittany Martin, of course, the Bloody Murder podcast with Tara and Barney.
Yes.
And Kelly, me, and Kelly, Kelly Jones.
Haven't heard from her.
You know that lispy hat.
I know, yeah.
She pops up every now and again.
I haven't seen her in a while.
Christy Lee at the Canadian True Crime Podcast. Eh?
They have locked their borders.
Carl Asplund.
They have locked.
They've got their border. Canada's building a wall and making us pay for it. Carol Elise, Charlie from Crime Lines, hope she's doing well. Cheryl LeBlanc, Chris Lane, Christine Howell, Cindy Clark and Diane Trowbridge, The Comeback Podcast, Diane Bassett, Diane Student, Erica Kinney, Aaron Turner, Fiona Crisp, Gina Green, Jay Cleveland Payne, Jahara Lopes, Jamie Dent, Hiro, Jason Dykes, Jeff and Don Chestnut. Dr. Jeff out there.
Yes.
Teaching.
He's on the ballot on Tuesday. So vote for.
He pulled himself off.
I did not hear that.
He stepped out. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He said politics was just a dirty business, and he didn't want to soil himself being around those other people.
He is beyond reproach.
Jennifer Svoda, Jess Watford, Jessica Greeno, Julia Rodriguez, Karen Barnes, Kelly Charette, Kim Stroop, Kimberly Smith, Christine Malachinsky, Laura O'Reilly, Lydia Fisher, Maja, Marsha Boris, Marie, Markia Smith, Mary Sheldon, Melissa Montoya, the next Mrs. Colonel, Michelle Johns, Paula Kimes, The Pleasing Terrors Podcast, Robert Sherrard, Ron Montesario, Ruth Whitfield, Sarah Bloom, who we all know and love, Charlene, Shannon Arnold, Shirley Strapp, Stacey Alsop, Stephen Potts, Terry Stratford, The Vanish Podcast, They Walk Among Us, Tyrone, Todd Long, Tommy Lane, Leanne Flanagan, our fake Irish girl from England, Tracy Smith, Viv, Rebecca L., Jen Lee, Whitney James, Rudy the Wonder Dog, Lady Beverly, of course, and the woman, sorry, Dottie, we didn't really have a high body count in this one for you, but hopefully you like the sword play, Dottie Scott.
Colonel,
how is Dottie Scott doing, Timmy?
She's doing well, but I've got a question for you, because people are starting to talk. We have not seen a contribution and our Patreon subscription for Bo, and people are starting to talk.
Well, Bo's going to do it after the election.
I see.
It seems like Bo's been donating all his extra money to an important race. There's a election for the
ball catcher,
county recorder in Batesville, Indiana.
Oh, I see.
I thought it. And wait a minute. He's not donating to the mayor's race. He's not donating to the mayor's race in Rabbit Hash.
Well, no, Bo is out of that. He said the whole thing's just a setup because the political parties tend to favor. Well, yeah,
The Pomeranian is really, I mean, he's just jumped forward in that race. He's beaten that boxer to death.
Yeah. So, well, you can't have a boxer as a mayor. They're too high strung.
Yeah, Pomeranians are so calm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Bo said after the election, after he gets done with this county commissioner or county recorder thing, he would start putting some money.
Yeah, we've been hearing that a long time. I'm just saying. It's right. For that.
Well, Bo's got short arms and deep pockets. So.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
Wait a minute. Right. I want to say something real quick. During, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in the next week. We don't know what's going to happen in the next month, 2 months, whatever. We just would ask everybody, please stay safe. Please, you know, stay healthy. Stay away from people.
Stay away from me.
Wash your hands.
Stay away from me.
Yeah,
stay
wash your hands. Do all that kind of stuff. The three of us actually had a friend of ours that passed away from COVID. So we would, and it would kill us for somebody else that we all know to lose them. So everybody, please stay safe. Please stay away or 6 feet away from everybody and we love you guys.
8 feet away from me at a minimum.
Yeah.
Not a problem. We love you guys. And, you know, everybody just hang in there.
All right. Thank you for joining us. And we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.